Hi, I'm Karen, founder and skipper of Sporting Sheroes, an organisation that helps women in sport raise their profile and develop great sponsorship packages. This is the Data Talks Sport CDP Crash Course podcast. Data Talks makes it easy for sports organisations to sell more tickets and merchandise and negotiate sponsorship agreements of higher value. Our community, Women in Sport Beyond the Hashtag, is for everyone involved in women's sports space. And we'd love you to join us, whatever your sport, whatever your level, and whatever your role. This month, I'm talking about something that is very close to my heart, sponsorship. And I'm not just talking about the high-profile elite athletes and teams, but sponsorship as a way of funding your sport for everyone, any sport, at any level. I wonder if when you think about sponsorship, but don't do anything about it, any of the following five thoughts run through your head. I don't have a sponsorship package ready is number one. Number two, I'm not good enough or I'm not at a high enough level yet. Number three, I have no idea who I could ask for sponsorship. Number four, I have equally no idea how much I should ask for. And number five, I simply don't have the skills required either to put together a sponsorship package or to deliver one. If that sounds familiar, I promise you all of the above are resolvable and can be pulled together without pushing you too far out of your comfort zone and sending you into a panic. And let's face it, the extra funding would go a long way towards kit, coaching, camps and club fees, wouldn't it? Here's the thing. In my experience of having worked with athletes and teams at both ends of the scale, the basics are pretty much the same for most people. So if you're a grassroots local rugby, hockey, footy, or perhaps an alternate frisbee team, or a solo athlete, perhaps a gymnast, a sprinter, or a BMXer, this is as much for you as it is for anyone else. When I work with athletes, clubs, or teams, I use my five-pillar approach, and I'm going to run through how it's structured. So pillar one is where we start, and that is, what's your go for gold anchor goal, and what do you need to get there? This sounds basic, and in all honesty, it is. However, it is absolutely worth spending time looking at your objectives for the next 1 to 3 seasons. Are you hoping to get promoted in a league, or do you have a target PB? Once you've established this, reverse engineer what it is you'll need to achieve it. Think about your coaching, your kit, travel and accommodation, perhaps some camps. All of the absolutes should be written, but also some of the it will be great if it's in the budget type elements. Then you need to work out where you are right here, right now. And you need to work out that right here, right now, both in terms of logistics and people and also money. What's the gap between where you are now and where you want to be? Once you've nailed this, you're ready for pillar two. Pillar two is what can you offer? So before you decide to offer the world for the right sum, you need to consider your mental fitness, a proportionate level of balance between your sport and your work and leisure time with friends and family. I usually recommend that clients include a mix of in-person and pre-prepared assets so that they have some direct engagement with the sponsor, such as a speaker event or a sport taste session, but can also prepare some non-in-person activities, such as perhaps a joint press release, imagery and logos that can go onto facilities and kit. Once you've come up with a list of all the things you'd like to offer, you need to work out whether you'd want just one major sponsor, so just one package, or perhaps it might be better to have more than one level of sponsorship so that multiple organisations can be involved at different price points. What you offer should be proportionate to the amount that you're requesting for that particular level of sponsorship. Once you've done that, you're ready for pillar three. Marketing your sports sponsorship package. Now, this stage is important. If you already use social media, then it's a no-brainer to post about having new sponsorship packages ready to go. In addition, you should identify a long list and a short list of companies to approach. And ideally, these organizations will have some element of commonality with you that adds to the partnership. If this is something you find uncomfortable, and if money, asking for money is something you find tricky, there are many ways to do it without it feeling icky, without you feeling, you know, not quite right about it. Perhaps you start with people you know and you send them your package and ask them to forward it to anyone they think might be interested. And you'll be surprised that people are only too willing to help. Pillar four, laying the foundations with your new sponsor. So once your sponsor has been secured, it's really important to set the parameters around your sponsorship and your activity. So often when problems arise, it's due to one of two problems. Either the athlete doesn't fully deliver on the sponsorship package that they said they will, or the sponsor perhaps expects way more than was agreed and or expects the athlete to be able to deliver at the drop of a hat and only at the sponsor's convenience. Neither of those two scenarios are great. And the best way to avoid this is to plan out in detail with your sponsor what will happen when, right at the beginning of your sponsorship. This is when the in-person versus the remote aspects or the pre-prepared aspects of your package are important. You need to be clear that your sponsor has bought your package, they haven't bought you. Everything that you can prepare off-season, do so. That way you're really well prepared. It won't be taking up headspace when you need to focus on your performance, and your sponsor will be absolutely delighted that you are so proactive. As soon as your sponsorship has been confirmed, sit down with your sponsor and agree when, where, and how you will deliver any in-person activities. Make sure you've consulted your diary forensically. Your work commitments, your personal commitments, and your sporting calendar to ensure that the dates you agree will not impact adversely on other areas that are important to you. So once all of that has been discussed, you're ready to move on to module five, and it's obviously deliver brilliantly. It's a really sad phenomenon of today's world that so often you simply have to do what you say you will in order to already be ahead of the game. Those that go the extra mile in terms of both the quality and the service that they offer are a commercial organization's dream. If you've included assets that you would love to offer, but feel you could improve on a little, it might be worth investing in some training, as it will stand you in good stead, not just for this season, but for attracting and retaining future sponsors as well. What's more, when it comes to a new season and increasing the level of funding you'd like, even if your current sponsor can't continue, you'll have demonstrated to the world that you're a great asset, you're reliable and professional, and I assure you that other companies will have noticed this. After all, we all want to work with people like that. So good luck with getting your sponsorship package together and securing the sponsor that is right for you. If you need any help, if you'd like me to sense check what you're planning or to work on it with you, then check out my bio on my Instagram at Sporting Sheroes. That's all one word. So that's a wrap for this month. I'm Karen, the founder and skipper of Sporting Sheroes, guest hosting this podcast for Data Talks. Come and connect with me and the awesome Data Talks team on social media. And don't forget to join our fantastic community, Women in Sport, beyond the hashtag. All the links are in the episode description.